Well, it's truly wonderful to be here. And again, as Pastor Ray said, this is the church, you know. And sometimes we refer to church to, you know, to buildings. And people say, you know, you should come and try my church at times. And what they really mean is that you should come and try the museum that we have, or the worship that we have. You know, we are a culture that based utterly upon feelings, how we feel. And our feelings today creates certain rights, right? I mean, it's all about rights today. This country that we live in, everybody has a right except Christians. If you're a Christian, you've got huge issues. And therefore, we need to be proud of who we are, we say. And except if you're a Christian, you know. If you're a Christian, you're only supposed to worship one day a week. But also, Easter is just one day a year, right? Be proud in that Easter. Christmas is just, you get one day. Just, you know, don't make a big deal out of it. What else do we have? Palm Sunday? One day. Thanksgiving? One day. But if you believe in anything else, you get a month to celebrate it. But it's interesting how many Christians are becoming so ashamed of the gospel because they don't want to create problems in their society. But, you know, by nature, a Christian is a troublemaker. Because they believe in Jesus, who was resurrected from the dead, and he caused so much problem in his region. Think about it, and if we are his followers, as we truly say, we will always have issues with people who do not believe the message that Jesus preached. Now we're going through the letter of Paul to the Ephesian church. It is a letter that was written from prison. We don't know if he wrote it from Ephesus when he was in prison or Rome. Doesn't matter. You know, don't lose sleep over it. But he's writing it. He's writing it to a church that he founded. And the church was surrounded by paganism. It was a very wealthy city, as we saw it last week. It was a city that was known for its beautiful, beautiful buildings. You know, archaeologists have found a lot of houses that has beautiful mosaic walls. The Temple of Artemis was there. They worshipped, Diana and all that. The goddess of fertility, Artemis was. And people came from all over the world. They brought money. It was great for tourism. The population of Ephesus was around 500,000. It was a wealthy city. I mean, it was just a place that you wanted to be. And it was very liberal, secular. There were big libraries in the city with beautiful manuscripts from all over the world. And here, the Apostle Paul, you know, gets a passion to preach the name of Jesus in a city that is anti-Christian. And but see what amazes me, if you've got faith that the Lord is capable of doing anything and everything, you just go and do it and let him deal with the results. And a lot of us are afraid and we ask the question, what if? And I was reminded of the story of Joshua. Remember when he was going to cross the river Jordan? And that river was just, you know, I mean, you go to River Jordan, it's nice and everybody gets baptized. But back then, you know, there was a lot of water. And it was just, you could not cross that river in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you needed a bridge to cross over it. And God says to Joshua, go. Now, you know, it goes against every logic. So, and they've got the tabernacle of God, they've got the Ten Commandments in a box. And then what does Joshua tell the priests? He says, just go and step into the river. Now, it goes against all logic. Once they step in the water stops. And that's what faith is. Faith is not just you have to understand. You know, a lot of people say we act by faith, but we want to know all the results before they happen. That's not faith. Now, what amazes me about the Apostle Paul is that he was a man of faith because he really understood who God was. The problem of society today and problem of many Christians is they do not know God as he should be known. And the purpose of our lives is to get to know God sincerely, passionately, and more every day. And we cannot do this by ourselves, but we need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And here he's writing to the Ephesians. And he's not the only one who writes to the Ephesians. You know who else wrote to the Ephesians? Jesus, in the book of Revelations. And he says, I'm so proud of you. so proud of you, but he's got issues with them as well. I'm not going to tell you about the issues. But Jesus says, I'm so amazed about your faith, how you stand against the doctrines of, you know, of false teachers and stuff. He says, I'm so proud. And the Apostle Paul was extremely proud of this church that he planted. It was not a mega church. That mega word is very American in nature, right? We like everything mega. You go to McDonald's, you know, you get Big Mac, right? Everything is just big. Bigger the better, really? Not every time bigger the better. So we love everything big, so we call churches mega churches. I attend a mega church. I've got a, you know, we've got a... Anyway, you got the message there. Now here, he is writing to the church and he says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. Now what made this church's faith strong? They had worse problems than we do. You know, you think your faith is being persecuted? You lost your job if you were a Christian. Now you lose some jobs here and there if you claim you're a Christian in this country. Our ancestors never thought that this day was going to come. But you know what? If you take God out of the family, everything happens. I'm not saying out of the church. Take God out of your family. The very first institution that God has established, far before God established the church, he established the family. Take God out of that equation, then chaos will reign. And so when people come to me and say, you know, it's very different, you know, our kids are very different today than they were in my generation, I say, no. The kids have nothing to do with it. Your parenting styles have changed. Amen. You know, parenting is the issue. The parents are just buying into this lie that kids, because the self-esteem of their kids, they just have to be overly nice to them. So let's not talk about God because they are just this boring stuff. The best thing a family can do is have God right in their midst and unashamedly talk about Jesus, who's the perfecter of our faith. Now, this church got that, and they were so zealous to grow in their faith. So they spent time in singing together, coming, you know, together in a city that there was so much to do. That they found time to come and pray and grow in faith. And the stronger your faith gets in the Lord Jesus, the more secure you are from within. You see, the problem today is that everybody is seeing a therapist to understand themselves. And my answer to that, the more you get to know God, the more you understand yourself. The issue is we've just changed everything around, and Satan is very happy. And that's one of the tactics he's using in this country. Because there was a time in this country where fire and chains could not take somebody's faith away. Secularism and a bunch of lies today is enabling Christian to sell his faith very cheaply. It's happening, my friends. Yet this church, and we're not talking about a building, bunch of believers who came together, they had such a strong faith that instead of the Apostle Paul is just worrying about them, he is praying. He says, ever since I've heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. Now imagine, you know, somebody is just praising God and thanking God for you. Think about it. Because they are doing not just the right thing, they are doing the godly thing. So the Apostle Paul, instead of saying, Lord, protect them from evil, he's saying, I thank God for people like this. And we want people to thank churches like this today for the faith that they are showing to the world, not by their numbers, but the quality of their faith. You know, whenever somebody says, you know, you should come in and experience my church, and the first question you need to ask is, are you talking about the music or are you talking about the preaching of the word? Or are you talking about the programs? Boy, churches have more programs today than, you know, a lot of secular things out there. Why? Because we want to attract people. We want to attract people at any cost. We want to just... Cheap faith is not faith. Cheap grace is not grace. And we are today, in many circles, we are saying, as long as you believe, all other stuff doesn't matter. Yeah, it does matter! So here we have a faith... full church, and the Apostle Paul is praising God and thanking God for their faith. This is what he prays for. He says, I pray for you constantly asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insights so that you might grow in your knowledge for God. Not in the knowledge of your 403Bs and 401Ks. Not about, you know, where you're going to retire. Everybody's thinking about retirement today, right? They save, they save, they save, and when the time comes, oh, my back. Oh, I can't travel. As a good friend of mine says, whatever you can do today, do not leave it for tomorrow.
Amen.
Right? So do whatever you can today. For tomorrow, it's another day. It's a gift, but today is a gift. 24 hours of gift God has given us to enjoy. So if you want to, you know, the other thing I say, if you want to buy somebody flowers, don't wait till their funeral. Mm-hmm. Buy it today.
Yes.
Today is the day. But also, the most important thing is, I pray that God will give you wisdom and insight so that you grow in your knowledge of God. My friends, we need to grow in our faith and in our knowledge of God. The more we know Him, the more we will know ourselves. Let me ask you this. Do you know God more today than you did 10 years ago? I hope you say yes. But I hope you will say, I'm not satisfied. Because there's so much more to know. And my prayer is for the church, is that God will give us all wisdom and understanding so that we know Him better every day. Now, and he says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people who are His rich and glorious inheritance. Now, what fascinates me is that, I'll tell you the story. There was a guy called Death, D-E-A-T-H. He went to a city. Actually, he was going to a city and he met this guy. And this guy asked him, he says, aren't you Death? He says, yeah, I'm Mr. Death. He says, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going to your city. He says, you're going to my city? He says, yeah, I'm going to take a few with me. He says, how many? He says, 1,000. So this guy gets so scared that he goes to the city and tells everybody that Death is on the way. So anyway, you know, things happen. And then a month after, Death happens to be on the street walking, and he meets this guy again on the street. And this guy is angry against Death. And he says, you know, you did not keep your promise. And Death says, well, what's wrong? He says, you said you are going to take 1,000, but 10,000 died in the city that day. He says, no, I kept my promise. I took 1,000. The 9,000 died of worry. You see, when a Christian believes in the hope of the resurrection, he's got nothing to fear. And here, sometimes we do forget that life here on earth, it's not permanent. It's a preparation for the Christian whom God has called. If God does not call, no matter how much you evangelize, the person is not going to respond. And what we have done in the name of bragging is that we've convinced people that they have faith. Just attend church, sign a paper, be baptized. You're a member of the church. God loves you. What if God has not called these people to church and His kingdom? It is God who calls. We don't know who they are, but we need to be convict and convinced that if a person does not have an understanding of S-I-N, yes, sin, and they will never understand why Christ died on the cross. So let's not be ashamed of that word. Oh, Lord, we still believe in sin. Yes! And we're all conceived in sin. And without Christ's blood, we have no hope. So we don't just accept Christ, we respond to God's grace every day because He's done the work for us. And the Holy Spirit prompts our hearts and convicts us of our sins. So we cannot help but turn to Christ and accept Him and embrace Him and thank Him. It is at that very moment that we have hope that is eternal in nature, and nobody can take it away from us. Did you know that? Nobody. Death or life or heights or depth, who can separate us from the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus? Those are promises given to us by the Holy Spirit Himself. Now, the Apostle Paul continues. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of his church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Did you understand what he said? The power that raised Jesus from the dead is ours. Claim it for goodness sake. And sometimes we don't live that victorious life. Nothing can stand between you and God. When Christ saves a soul, the devil has no place there. So do not buy into the fears that people put in, you know, oh, I've read the horoscope, and this is what it said. Really? I don't believe in horoscopes. People ask me, what are these things, stars I am, or? Yeah, I say, I've got no clue, man, you're wasting your time. You've never read these? No. Jesus already told me what's going to happen. Really, he has, and I'm okay with it. Absolutely okay. You're not going to, so don't you want to know, like, what road you're going? No. I love surprises. Every day is a surprise. But it is glorious to know that not Donald Trump, nor Putin, nor Kim Jong-un, whatever, I can't say his name, or any authority or any ruler on this planet Earth is above Jesus. Not only on this planet Earth, it says, above Earth, on Earth, and under Earth, that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess, that he is Lord. We forget that, but he is our Lord. And because of him, we inherit heaven. So all these pains and aches that I shared with you earlier, you know, the tweaking, oh, my shoulder, just did you hear that? I was just doing that. But all these things are preparations for us, for that glorious day. I'm not saying rush into it. You've got work here on earth. Some people make death so exciting that people can't wait. I was at I had a great Old Testament teacher who died very young, Professor Ted Herber. I studied Hebrew under him. He was a very godly man, and he died early. And I remember at the funeral, the New Testament professor was equally godly man. He looked at the coffin and he says, Ted, I'm jealous of you, that you're in the presence of our Lord before me. I mean, who can talk like that? Those who believe in the glory that is out there. But while we are here, we have a job to do. We are ambassadors of Christ. We carry the presence of Christ in darkness. We are the light that needs to shine. But most of the time, what happens is that our pains and aches and problems take over. And it blinds us from being who we are. Sons of the King. Daughters of the King. Children of the King, brothers of Christ, co-heirs with him. Oh, the minds have not seen yet what God has prepared for those who love him. See, this is exciting stuff. Yet we just go, the Lord is my shepherd, and we read that at funerals. Why can't we just read it every day? That was not meant for funerals. It was meant for weddings, baptisms, and every day that's called a day. You know, I was touched by a letter that I read this week by a pastor, a young man who was in a concentration camp. He was arrested by the Nazis. He was thrown in prison for his stand because he refused. He was a German. He was a German pastor, Lutheran pastor. But they just wanted to kill him because he would not agree with the stuff that Hitler put out. And then they gave him a chance to write to his parents. He was a very young minister, and the authorities gave him the chance to write to his last letter to his parents. And this is what he wrote from prison. Now, you might be thinking that this is Bonhoeffer. Nothing is to do with Bonhoeffer. Nobody knows about this man. His name was Hermann. I even don't know his last name. Now, this is what he writes, Dear Mom and Dad, this is translated from German. When this letter comes into your hands, I shall no longer be among the living. The thing that has occupied our thoughts constantly for many months is now about to happen. If you ask me what state I am in, I can only answer, I am first in a joyous mood, and second, filled with a great anticipation. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. What consolation, what marvelous strength emanates from Christ. I'm amazed. In Christ I have put my faith, and precisely today I have faith in Him more firmly than ever. My parents, look up the following passages, 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 14:8. Look anywhere you want in the Bible, and everywhere I find jubilation over the grace that makes us children of God. What can really happen to a child of God? Of what indeed should I be afraid? Everything that till now I have done, struggled for, and accomplished has at bottom been directed to this one goal, whose barrier I shall penetrate today. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. For me, believing will become seeing. Hope will become possession, and I shall forever share in Him who is love. Should I not then be filled with anticipation? What is it all going to be like? The things that up to this time I have been permitted to preach about, I shall now see. There will be no more secrets nor tormenting puzzles. Today is the great day. From the very beginning, I have put everything into the hands of God. And now He demands this end of me. Good, His will be done. And so, until we meet again above, in the presence of the Father of light, your joyful Son, Herman. Now, my friends, today I want to encourage you and say, whatever you're going through in life, go with Jesus. So if you've got an appointment to this week, you don't know the outcome, if it's blood test results, or if it's chemotherapy, or a marriage, you've got struggles within the marriage, just go with Jesus. He is the same Jesus who was, who is, and who is to come. We can face all things through Him. And we can do all things through Him who gives us the strength. You and I are not alone. The world wants to believe, make us believe that we are all alone. When God is for us, who can be against us? Claim that. The Ephesians claimed that. And they were able to survive and thrive in a city that celebrated paganism and heathenism. And the name of Jesus was proclaimed in the midst of all this chaos. So when you look around and say the world has changed, the world has always been changing. But one thing stays the same is human nature. Born in sin and will die in sin unless it has Christ. And our job, our duty as Christians, not to convict people of their sins, because our name is not the Holy Spirit. Not to save people from their sin, because we are not the Jesus of Nazareth. Not to play gods in people's lives, because we are not God, we are creatures. Our job is to carry the presence of Christ and say, you could have the same joy in the midst of tribulations that I have without a therapist, without giving a dime, because it comes from above. And it is that the Holy Spirit is going to use to convict. And it's up to Him, not up to us. We cannot save the world. I wish everybody would have come to the Ark of Noah. He preached every time he put a nail on that thing, on that ark. He preached the gospel. But people chose not to believe. Our job is to thank God for calling us, but equally proclaim this good news, because it's so good, you shouldn't keep it to yourself. And we should all do this for His glory, today and tomorrow, and until the end of time. Amen. Amen. We're going to end today's service by our last song, I guess, right? And Mikey's going to lead us.
This last song is a very special song to me, and I think it goes well with your sermon that you just preached.
Thank you.
Knowing who we are in Christ. artist that I like. His name is Lincoln, and I feel like God wrote, you know, for me to hear. Whenever you're in a time of trouble or you're in doubt, you're thinking down about yourself, the chorus is, you hold my head up, you remind me who I am. We are new creations. We're no longer slaves to sin or Satan. So I want this song to be an encouragement to all of you. This is called Be New. You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me.
Church. They are part of the church. So, and God bless you. And thank you, Pastor Ray.